I'm going to be preaching on a man today, two men I suppose. One of them's Jesus, often preached on at church, you'd hope. And another chap is a chap called, well, I'm going to call him Romulus. He was a centurion in Matthew chapter 8. A centurion was a Roman, leader of a century of men, so 100 men. And I'm going to call him Romulus, because that's a very Roman name. So let's read first. We're going to read, so the title of my sermon is Romulus and Jesus. So let's read, we're going to start in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read down to verse 30. It says, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I come and heal him?' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, 'Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, let it be done just as you believed it would.' And his servant was healed at that moment." My first point, I think there's a number of points to take out of this, a number of good qualities about Romulus here. And the first one I wanted to talk about, my first point, was Romulus's humility. You know, I think it's easy for us in society to work on a very hierarchical basis and look at great leaders of companies, CEOs, leaders of countries, leaders of maybe sports teams or things like that, and really to look at them as above kind of the rest of us, perhaps. And it's interesting, I think, that that's probably what the centurion here would have experienced in his time. Being a Roman army leader would have been a very prestigious place and a prestigious title to hold. And I think one thing that's really interesting to see here is his attitude towards his servant. It's not something that I think we often see, but you know, for a servant in times 2,000 years ago, servants weren't very valuable. They weren't seen as very having much place in society. They weren't seen as important as the leaders of the time. And it's interesting to see that the centurion has such a heart for his servant.
Yeah.
His servant's ill, and he sees Jesus, and he doesn't go to Jesus and think, "What can I get off Jesus? You know, what do I need?" He thinks, "What does my servant need?" I just think it's quite an interesting kind of thing to think that, you know, the centurion is who he is, yet he has time for his servant, and he has humility to see his servant's needs to be as important as his, despite the fact he was who he was.
Yeah.
And he says to Jesus, you know, "I need him healed." And then he says to him, Jesus says, "Do you want me to come over to your house?" And he says, "I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof." What humility is that?
Yeah.
You know, again, to say, to be before Jesus, and he's right, like, none of us deserve anything compared to what Jesus is, who he is, God in the flesh. And for the centurion to see, you know, "I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof. My house doesn't deserve to have you grace its presence." And I think it really is an example of the humility that we all want to be aiming for, for Jesus. And it's what God really looks for. It says in the Bible, God gives grace to the humble. That's what it says in the scriptures. And that's a great, I guess a great principle that I think is often, it's hard for us to maybe put others before ourselves, to see ourselves as lower than what we want to be, to see ourselves as less important than we maybe want. But it's something that the kingdom of heaven exalts. You know, the ones found in the kingdom will be the humble ones, not the proud ones. I had a time earlier this year where my kind of maybe my pride came out. I've just, as Wale so kindly said, I've now just become a dentist, which is incredibly exciting. And during my dental studies, we have to learn about all kinds of things about teeth and different diseases that you can get in your mouth and things like that. And my favourite topic was a kind of a weird topic, but I always end up liking most of the weird topics. It was this one about tumours, tooth tumours. And I really, really liked these I found them really interesting. And no one else did. But I did. And as it turns out, when you like something, you turn out to be quite good at figuring these things out and quite good at learning them. So I was in a study group with my friends one day, and we were talking about these tumours. And you know, I was in front of the computer. We had like a sort of similar setup here. We had like pictures of X-rays of these tumours and stuff. And I was like, yeah, this tumour's, you know, this, and this is clearly this. And you know, I was sort of leading the way. And what my friend said to me at the end, you almost came across arrogant there. That was quite a wake-up call for me. Like, oh my gosh, like I needed to think. Well, let me be careful with the, you know, my great knowledge doesn't become, you know, the seat of my pride. And it was kind of like something I had to watch from then forward. But it's an example of how pride can get the better of us. You know, when we have a situation of success, perhaps, in our lives, it's easy for us to think, I'm great, aren't I? I know so much. And I think it's something that we always can be, we can never be too aware, I think, of our pride. I think as people, I've heard it said that, you know, the greatest sin and the most dangerous sin is pride, because it's the sin from which all other sins stem. You know, and that's really where I think our pride is a real thing to be aware of. And I suppose for us today, it's important for us to look at the centurion and think, how can I be more like the centurion? And how can I watch my life and watch my where I'm tempted to be proud? Maybe, I don't know, maybe at work there's, you lead a team, or you have people below you in your team from a hierarchical perspective. I encourage you, think about them from God's perspective, not just from a human, earthly perspective. Because it's certainly easy for us, I think, to be caught up in how the world views people rather than how God views people. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you've got a talent. Perhaps you're particularly good at something, and people often compliment you on it. It's easy to, you know, show these talents off, and it's easy to flaunt them in front of people. What about our weaknesses? Do we flaunt our weaknesses in the same way? Because we know that God works through weaknesses just as much as He does our strengths. That's my first point, the humility of the centurion. My second point is to do with his faith. You know, something we see something that we don't often see in the Bible, and that's an amazed Jesus. Yeah. You know, it says in verse 10, when Jesus heard this, so the man's just, you know, told him that, you know, he believes, not only does he believe Jesus can heal his servant, but he believes that Jesus doesn't even need to be in the same room as his servant in order for him to be healed. And it says, verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to him. What an amazing thing, to amaze the Creator, to amaze the man who knew everything, to amaze the man who'd seen everything, and seen it before, and seen everything that happened in the past, and everything that would happen, who was the most faithful man alive, and he was still amazed at this man's faith. I wonder how today we can amaze Jesus with our faith. You know, I think we always want to be, I suppose as Christians, aiming to be the best we can possibly be for God. And I wonder today, have you ever thought about, how can I amaze Jesus today with my faith? Because that's what we have an opportunity to do. Faith, though, is a challenging, it's an interesting thing. It's not something that, it can be a bit of an enigma, perhaps. It can be, sometimes you can feel faithful, sometimes you might not. But it can be something that's sometimes quite hard to wrap your fingers around. I was in Italy recently with my family. We had a lovely family holiday, and we had a good time playing lots of card games and things like that, and sleeping in very late. And me and my sister went to we went to the beach, or like to this little lagoon place where we went swimming, and there was these places where you could basically jump off rocks. into the water. And it's very exciting. The water in Italy is a few degrees warmer than in England. And, you know, there was this arch that was like 6 metres high. And, you know, we would sort of tend, my sister was like, yeah, let's go and jump off. And she jumped off and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And I went off, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this for God. And I jumped in, I made it, I jumped in. And, there was this crazy guy who, like, didn't just jump off, he turned around and did a backflip off, like, into the water from 6 metres up, the kind of thing Ben May would have done when he was 15 on the trampoline. You know, it was a crazy example of wouldn't call it faith, maybe just folly. There was this other place where you could, it wasn't quite so high, but it was a rock. And basically, the idea was you don't just jump off this rock, you have to dive off this rock, because there's these jagged rocks just below where you are. So if you jump off or are half committed, you'll scrag yourself on the rocks, and that's not a good place to go. So it's a good example. For me, I was thinking this is a good example of faith, because the only way to do it is to be 100% committed. And that's the way it is with faith. You know, with faith, you can't be like, well, I'll try it, but it might not work. You have to say, I'll try it, because I believe it will work. You know, and that's what we see here with the centurion. He says, you know, Jesus says to him, do you want me to come to your house? You know, you believe that this man can be healed. And the guy doesn't say, yeah, I need you to come to my house because, you know, I need you nice and close because otherwise your powers might not work from, you know, longer than 10 metres away. You know, it's easier, right, when things are nearer, when we can see things are going to work. He says he has faith and he's fully committed to his faith, where he says, okay, I don't need you. I don't need you to be here in the house. You can do anything from anywhere because I believe that you're that powerful. And that's the kind of faith that God calls for in our lives. It's easy to have faith when things are easy, isn't it? It's easy to have faith and think, oh, I can help someone become a Christian when you see lots of people around you doing the same thing. When there's lots of people near you who are being faithful, it's easy to be faithful, isn't it? What about when there aren't many people around you being faithful? Maybe again at work, maybe you're the only Christian at work. Maybe at school, you're the only Christian at school. You're the only person with a faith in your neighbourhood who believes in God. The only person who wants to live out the Bible. It's easy to be faithful when there's many people there, but how do you do, how do we do, how do I do when there's only me, when it's harder? When maybe Jesus doesn't seem quite so near today. Maybe things are hard, maybe things are challenging financially. Maybe things are challenging in relationships at home. Maybe there's lots of reasons to think Jesus' powers might not work in this way. But we see with our friend Romulus, he has faith that moves mountains regardless of where Jesus is or how close Jesus is to him or how close he feels Jesus is to him. And I think that's a challenge for us with our faith, is to ask ourselves, what kind of faith are we going to have? Are we going to have a faith that's determined by circumstance, or are we going to have a faith that's consistent regardless of the situation that we're in? Because that's what we see here. This man's servant wouldn't have been healed if he hadn't had this kind of faith. You know, and in our lives, we need to have faith and be fully committed to that faith if we're going to see God do great things in our lives. And as we can see here, God does an amazing thing. You know, to heal this guy just like that, God can do great things here in Lower Reading, great things here in Reading, great things wherever you live. God can do that. But my charge to you is be fully committed to that faith. Let's not be half-hearted in our faith and think God can only work in certain scenarios, because he can work in any scenario. He can do amazing things. My third point, it's not what you know, and it's not who you know. To coin a kind of well-known phrase. Romulus, I'm sure, didn't come from the most spiritual background. The Romans, as many of us know, weren't a big fan of the true God Yahweh. They were more a fan of these pagan gods like Zeus and Hermes and Mars and things like that, with you know, basically humans in the sky with very human-like tendencies. And you know, he didn't come with a traditional kind of... He didn't come from a background that you think a really faithful person would come from. Mm. You know, he wasn't actually... Didn't have a great education in the Bible. Didn't have a great education or a great family history of people of great faith. He came from a pagan family. He came from a Roman family. Pharisees, on the other hand, they had it all. Yeah, the Pharisees were the ones who had all the, you know, all the pedigree in their family, all the pedigree in their lives. And the ones who had, the person who had more faith was Romulus the Centurion. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because that tells us a lot about faith and pleasing God. Pleasing God isn't about where do you come from. It's not about who do you know. It's not about, you know, what have I done in my past? You know, what have we experienced in our lives? What credibility do I bring from my, you know, from my life? It's about God. And that's what Romulus was focused on. Romulus was focused on what could God do and not what about me. It's difficult, isn't it, sometimes to... I don't know, I think it can be challenging to when you feel like you don't feel the real deal spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are different things that happen for all of us. Maybe we have a bad week. Mm-hmm. Maybe we look at people... You know, in different areas in the world, and we think, wow, they're so effective, or they're so amazing at what they do spiritually, and I just don't have that. You know, and I'm just not like them. But the interesting thing is, we see here from the Bible that it's not about us and what we're like. Yeah. All of us can choose to be faithful people and serve God, and it's actually about our heart and our response. That's all God cares about. He doesn't care about, you know, our backgrounds. He doesn't care about who we know, who taught us spiritually, you know, who taught you to become a Christian, how effective you've been as a Christian. It doesn't matter about that. God's looking at, where's your heart? Do you see, Jesus is asking, do you see me? Do you make a choice to be fully committed to believe in me? And that's why I think this is even more impressive when we look at the centurion. Didn't come from a spiritual background. Didn't go to church regularly as a young person, you know, in his pagan background. Mm-hmm. But still, he had the faith and he had the heart that was ready to see Jesus when Jesus came to meet him. That's what I wanted to share today. The idea of being humble people, faithful people, people focused on God being the one to give us the strength. Focus on our hearts for God and our faithful hearts to see Him do amazing things in our lives, to see Him do amazing things here in Lower Ridley and in Thames Valley as a whole. It's been great to preach. I really thank you for letting me preach, and let's have a great time of fellowship. Thank you.